Tyler opens his banking app on a Tuesday morning. He doesn't want to look, but the rent notice came yesterday, so he looks. The number is smaller than he needs it to be. Not zero. He's not in crisis, but small enough that it sits in his chest like a stone all day. And somewhere in the back of his mind, he's been hearing this idea that giving first is the move, that generous people build the best lives, that you should lead with what you can offer instead of what you need. And right now, standing in his kitchen at 7 in the morning, that idea sounds like something someone rich said while looking out a window. So let me be honest with you before we go any further. The money stress is real. I'm not going to tell you it isn't. The rent is real. The card balance is real. The low number in the app is real. What I am going to tell you is that you have already been looking at the wrong account. The one that actually matters isn't in that app. May is 24. She works 2 days a week at a coffee shop and 3 days at a small marketing firm doing stuff nobody trained her for. And she's good at it. Her bank account looks almost exactly like Tyler's. And May has this skill. She notices people. She knows when a coworker is having a rough day before they say a word. She's the person who remembers that her friend's hard conversation was on Thursday and texts Friday to ask how it went. She's been doing this her whole life, and it has never once occurred to her that it's worth anything. She thinks of it the way you think of being able to carry a tune. Nice, but not real currency. Not the kind you pay rent with. Here's what I want you to see. May is sitting on something. She just doesn't have a name for it yet. And Tyler is too. He's generous with his time. He shows up when people need him. He gives his full attention in a world where most people are giving about 30% of their attention while the rest is on their phone. Both of them have an account they've never been taught to read. Book 4 starts with a claim that sounds simple until you actually sit with it. Money is one currency, not the only one. Between people, in the way lives actually get built, there are several currencies moving around at the same time. Money is the one you can photograph and put in a bank, but the others are real. Time is a currency. Every person alive gets the same 24 hours, and choosing to spend some of them on someone else is a genuine transfer of something valuable. Attention is a currency, and a scarcer one than it used to be, now that a phone is always an arm's length away. The average person is running at maybe half attention most of the time, which means giving someone your full, undivided, phone-in-your-pocket attention is genuinely unusual. And presence is a currency, the combination of being physically there, emotionally available, and not somewhere else in your head. These aren't soft, nice-sounding alternatives to money. They're what people actually remember, what actually moves things forward in someone's life, what builds the kind of relationships where someone would lend you the money you need right now if you needed it. You are 22, 25, 28, and you may be short on cash, but you have more time, energy, and presence to spend than you will at 45. That is a real advantage. It is not imaginary. Now I want to stop here, because there's a pushback coming, and it's a legitimate one, and if I don't take it seriously, you're going to tune me out. The pushback is this. Okay, but the landlord doesn't take presents. You can't pay a credit card with time. You can't hand your full attention to the grocery store and walk out with food. Every one of those things is true, and I'm not going to pretend they aren't. Real money stress is not just a perspective problem. When the rent is due and the number in the app is too low, that is a real, material, urgent problem, and it does not go away because you gave someone your full attention this week. So let me be very clear about what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not saying presence replaces money. I'm not saying you should stop caring about earning more, or that being broke is secretly fine, or that the answer to financial pressure is to think differently about it. The answer to financial pressure is money, and getting more of it matters. What I'm saying is something different. The path to more money, for almost everyone building from nothing, runs directly through the non-money currencies first. The people who eventually had money to lend you, the introduction that led to the better job, the person who hired you for the thing that changed the path, those connections were built before any money moved. With time, with presence, with the kind of attention that made someone feel like they mattered, you can't skip the foundation and call it a shortcut. Here's something that researchers who study how people build careers and communities have noticed across a lot of different settings and situations. When they look at people who started with very little and ended up with strong networks, good opportunities, and real economic traction, the pattern that keeps showing up isn't that these people got lucky breaks or found the right mentor by chance. The pattern is that they were genuinely useful to the people around them before they needed anything. They remembered things. They showed up. They made introductions. They paid attention in a way most people don't. And the giving came back around. Not as a transaction, not because someone was keeping score, but because that's how it tends to go when you put something real into the people around you. Now, this is not a law of the universe. It doesn't work every time, with every person, and I'm not going to promise you it does. Some people take and don't give back, and we'll get into that. But across a lot of lives and a lot of circumstances, being someone who gives the non-money currencies early tends to build the kinds of relationships where the money currencies follow eventually. Not always. Not on a schedule, but often enough that it's the move worth making. Here's what Tyler did. Not some version of Tyler from a book. The real Tuesday morning, Tyler who looked at his banking app and felt that stone in his chest. He had a friend named Marcus who was trying to get his small photography business going and couldn't figure out how to find clients. Tyler didn't have money to invest. He didn't have connections in the photography world. What he had was 3 free hours on a Saturday and the ability to help Marcus put together a short portfolio website. Tyler had learned enough about websites to do that much, and it took him an afternoon. He wasn't thinking about what he'd get back. Marcus needed it. Tyler could do it. He did it. 3 months later, Marcus photographed a birthday party for someone who turned out to work at a small design firm. That person mentioned they needed a freelance project manager for a few months. Marcus texted Tyler. Tyler got the contract. The contract paid 4 months of his rent and led to a second contract and then a third. Tyler did not engineer this. He didn't give his Saturday to Marcus as a strategy. He gave it because it was what he had and Marcus needed it. But if you map it, the Saturday, the website, the party, the referral, the job, what you see is a jar that went around. Tyler put something in. Something came back to his door from a direction he never would have predicted on a schedule nobody planned. May's version of the story started smaller and almost didn't happen at all. There was a woman at the coffee shop, a regular, always ordered the same thing, always looked like she was carrying something heavy. May noticed, the way she notices people, but for months she didn't say anything because it wasn't her place and she didn't want to be weird about it. Then one Thursday, the woman came in, ordered her usual, and when May handed it over, she said, "Just once, nothing dramatic. You look like you're having a rough stretch." "I hope it eases up." That was it. She didn't push. She didn't make a project out of the woman. She said one honest thing and let it sit. The woman started crying, a little, right there. She said nobody at work had said anything like that in 6 months, and she'd started to feel invisible. They talked for 4 minutes. That was the whole thing. 2 weeks later, the woman, who worked at a nonprofit May had never heard of, mentioned to her director that she'd met someone thoughtful and good with people who was looking for more hours. The director had a part-time communications position that hadn't been posted yet. May got a call. She almost didn't go. She kept saying she was just a barista. She wasn't qualified. She was. She took the job. It led to full time. That Thursday at the coffee counter, May gave 45 seconds of her full presence to a stranger. She didn't do it to get a job. She did it because she saw someone and she said something. That's the jar going around. No plan, no strategy, no money required. So here's the turn inward, and this is the one I want you to sit with for a minute. Every time Tyler or May checked the banking app and felt that stone in the chest, they were checking one account and ignoring another. The coin pocket account. Real, important, needs attention. The jar account, also real, also accumulating, completely invisible because nobody taught you to read it. And here is the thing that matters most. The jar account compounds. When you give presents to Marcus, and Marcus gives presents to the party guest, and the party guest thinks of you for the job, that's one chain. But the chain doesn't stop. The job leads to a relationship that leads to the next thing you can't see yet. The jar doesn't just go around once. It keeps going. Every time you put something genuine in time, attention, the honest thing at the coffee counter, the total in the jar gets bigger and the reach of what comes back grows longer. This doesn't mean be naive. It doesn't mean give everything to everyone or ignore whether people are putting anything back in. But it means that the morning you open the banking app and feel poor, you are almost certainly wealthier than the number says, because you have been putting things into a jar you didn't know you were carrying. The question is just whether you start doing it on purpose. There is one more thing we need to deal with honestly, and I promised we would. What about the people who just take? What about Marcus, who never returns anything, or the person you gave your Saturday to who doesn't even text you back, because they exist? And if you just give and give and give into a situation where nothing is moving back, that drains you, and it should. The jar only works if things are moving. One person constantly pouring into a jar that only ever goes one direction is just a well by a different name. So here is the real answer, and it has two parts. First, not everyone is a taker. Most people, when you give them something real, respond with something real, not as a trade, not keeping a careful ledger, but because generosity tends to call more of the same out of people. The takers are the exception, not the rule, and it's worth not running your whole life as if they were the majority. Second, the jar is actually quite good at showing you who the takers are. When you give time and attention to someone and nothing ever moves the other direction, not in a week, not in a month, not in a year, that's information. You don't have to make a speech about it or decide they're a bad person. You can just quietly put less of your best hours there and more of them somewhere that things are actually moving. The jar is not unlimited generosity to everyone forever. It's a shape that rewards the people who are in it, genuinely, and makes the ones who aren't pretty easy to spot. So here's your one thing this week, and it costs you nothing but the currency you're already carrying. Pick one person in your world, one, and give them 30 real minutes of your full presence. Not 30 minutes while you also check your phone and think about three other things. Phone in your pocket or face down in another room, fully there. Help them move something. Listen to the whole story without finishing their sentences or planning your response while they're still talking. Walk with them while they work through something out loud. Show up for the thing you said you'd show up for. Whatever it is, the gift is your attention, given completely. Not your money, not your connections. Just you, actually there. You don't have to announce it or explain it. Just do it and see what it feels like to spend from the account you've been ignoring. you'll probably find that it didn't cost you as much as you feared, and that you feel more like yourself afterward than you have in a while. That's what it feels like to spend real currency, and that's giving first when you're broke. Turns out you weren't. So that's book four for the young and the one starting with nothing. You have been looking at one account and ignoring another. The coin pocket is real. Keep working on it. It matters. But the jar, the one you fill with time, presence, and your honest, full attention. That one was always running, and it will keep running as long as you put real things in and pay attention to whether they're moving. Tyler Saturday built 4 months of rent. May's 45 seconds built a career she didn't see coming. Neither of them engineered it. They just gave the currency they had. You have the same currency, more of it probably. The number in the app is not the whole story of what you're worth, and the longer you know that, the more it turns out to be true. There's more in the book whenever you want the long version. Next time, we get practical and a little harder. We look at the people right next to you and start building a jar on purpose, from literal zero, starting with one move. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.